So, as I was just preparing, and I'm going to ask you people to come up just now to share as well a little bit. Just, I used the example just now with somebody else, so I'll have to use the potgieters as an example. Nobody else has got more kids than them here right now. Huh? Hi? Phil, jy het vier, jy het vier. Yes! Ons vijf. Ja, dat is raar. Okay, so let's use Phil. Jy wen. So if I ask, if Phil asks me, says to me, Stefan, will you look after one of my children, Leandro? Let's use Leandro. And I take Leandro to school and everything, and I lose Leandro. Do you think Phil's going to be happy? Phil, are you going to be happy if I lose Leandro? Exactly. And I go, but hey, Phil, come on. You still got four other kids. It's not that bad, Phil. We just lost one. It's not that bad. You know what? I want to say this. Jesus cares about every single person. Every person is precious in the sight of the Lord. Every person. Therefore, Jesus says this. He says that you need to leave the 99 sheep to go find the one. In other words, I'll do everything in my power to find Leandro because he is precious to his Father. So are you. So this morning, I want to look at a quick, just a little scripture. One scripture. I know it's weird for me. But one scripture. And then we'll have two people talking and then I'll wrap up. So look at this scripture quickly in John chapter 6, verse 9. So the story is this. Jesus is feeding 5,000 people. Okay, so there's this multitude. He's been teaching the whole day and they're hungry. And the disciple says to him, but Lord, they're hungry. So he says, well, go get them something. And they're like, well, it's going to cost us like 200 denarii for all the food, for all the McDonald's that we have to buy for all these people. Because 5,000 is just the heads of the men. So if there were women and children, let's say there's 15,000 people. So his disciple says this. He says, there is a boy. Now, first and foremost, we don't even know what this boy's name is. And the funny thing is, it's mentioned here in John, but in Mark chapter 6, where the same account is, they don't even talk about the boy. They just talk about the fish and the bread. And they say, this little boy has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. It looks very insignificant. I mean, that's not a very nice lunch. Pulchers and broiki. Okay, it's not a very nice lunch. But that's his lunch. Anchovies. They asked me what I want on my pizza the other night. I said, just not anchovies and artichokes, you know. So they were laughing. But that's what he had. And it looked very insignificant. And I'm sure the disciples were like, Jesus, this is what we could get. 5 loaves and 2 fish. But this boy is super significant because 15,000 people got fed through this one boy. That 15,000 people would go hungry if this boy didn't play his part. If he didn't come and say, I only have this. Gideon, in the book of Judges, the Lord approaches Gideon and he says, oh, mighty man of valor. And he says, who, me? He says, I'm the least of my clan. You know, if you know where the angel of the Lord found him, he was treading grain in a wine press. He was hiding in a place that he wasn't even supposed to be. And the Lord found him and said, you mighty man of valor. And he's like, you, me? And this little boy must have felt the same. Insignificant. Totally insignificant. But very significant in the hands of God. So I want to say to you that you, as an individual, as a person, no matter how old you are significant to the Lord. When you're in the body of Christ, you are very significant. So I've asked Simone and Mandy to just share a little bit about their journey in the life of the church. So, Simone, you're up again. And take two for you. Yeah. Huh?
Sekere dinge het nog nie verander, die Dirk. Ek is nog steeds nie 'n natural speaker nie. So, Stefan asked me to share about our journey within Josh Jen and within the life of the church. And as I said, I'm not a natural speaker, so I have these notes, so excuse me. So with our first visit to Josh Jen was about 9 years ago. We moved back from the Netherlands with a 7.5 month old baby. And the first Sunday that we visited Josh Jen, it was a strange experience for us. There were no chairs, there were no no normal church service. It was a Braai Sunday, like a family bring and share. And we were about to leave because I looked at Banat and I was like, no, just no. And somebody stopped us and said, no, we brought enough for everybody to share and you're welcome to sit in. And we felt so welcome from the word go. And from that moment onwards, we were invited to many things, mom's group, life group, community. And we were just challenged in our faith and in our walk with the Lord. And we were pursued, really. And from that moment, it kicked off our healing process, because at that moment, I was suffering with postnatal depression and anxiety. And our marriage was almost on the rocks. And these people really loved us enough to speak the truth in love and to walk it out with us. So then began our process of healing. And we were really nothing special, but we had a big lounge. So people were in our house often, and we had like a kayers. And our house was messy, but it was big, so we had lots of church meetings there. So finally, the elders started speaking to us about maybe leading a life group. And at that moment, we were still a bit broken and gekneus. But we loved having people in our house. So people, somehow one friend said to us, and this was maybe the wisest thing that I had heard up to that date. And they said to us, she said to me, either God is going to prepare you before you get the job, or he will sort you out on the job. So the latter was true for Bernard and myself. And we became life group leaders, and we had challenges. Our life group was, we had about 15 children under the age of 6. So it was a bit of a shell shock experience for us. But one person in our life group actually said she enjoyed coming to our house because it was messier than hers. And it made her felt good about the situation at her house. Anyway, at that point, our lives were really completely surrendered to him, and it was his. And then thereafter, Milani, who's a prophet and a deacon in the life of the church, said that she had felt the Lord stir her heart to move in with a family, as she was a single lady, and she felt it would be us. And we were like, okay, we're going to go away and pray about it, which we did, and we felt peace about it. So she and her dog moved in with us. And it was for about 10 months, and it really shaped us and our faith, because obviously she spoke into our lives, and it might have been painful, but it shaped us, and it was good for us. So she became a sister from another mister, and I love her dearly to this day. And at that point, two other young people also moved in with us, and they're still our friends, and we love them a lot. And fast forward a little, we went on an outreach about 3 years ago to Willowmore. And that's where we met Kobus and Isabel, who's also in church with us today. And as we were driving back from this outreach, I said to Bernard, but Bernard was born, he's born and bred Oudtshoorn. And we met each other at Cape Technikon years back, 21 years back. And I had strict rules about visiting Oudtshoorn, like 2 weeks limit. No Willy's Foods, no mall, no movies. We needed to blow this pop stand. Anyway. So as we drove back, I said to Bernard, I really felt the Lord stir in my heart that we needed to move here and become part of the church here. And Bernard said he had also felt the stirring, but obviously he was a bit afraid to tell me that with my 2 week rule. Anyway, so we were ready to be obedient. We submitted our stirring to our group of elders at Edgemead PM, who was our church in Cape Town. And nobody felt a caution. So the next few weeks could only be described as God's favor resting heavily upon our lives. Our kids found schools. We found a house that we could move to. And I think it was about a month and a half. And then on the 21st of December 2017, we moved to Oudtshoorn to serve His church as God saw fit. You know, our journey here has not always been easy, but we are part of His family and His church, and He is faithful. So what is the thread here? What did I want to share this morning? Say yes often. This morning might seem like a Simon show. I've been on worship and I'm talking, but I said yes. And we chose to walk closely to our God, and I want to encourage you to do so as well. Find an accountability partner who you trust, who can lead you into the more Jesus has for you. Allow people into your lives. Be available. Let everything you do be to an audience of one, our King Jesus. Love God and love people. And the verse I want to read is Psalm 84, verse 10. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Okay.
Dirk is daarom een van die paar nuwe gesigte aan the second round, so hy het lekker vir jou grappies gelag. So let's see. So we got 7 minutes. Ek sê vir Stefan, luckily I'm practiced, because at Kids Church I used to say, guys, if you can give me 7 minutes. As jy net vir 7 minute sal luister, dan kan ons jol. So I can do 7 minutes. I can. Last night I said to the Lord, I'd love a scripture. Can you just give me a scripture? And I was busy with the book of Isaiah in lockdown. And the next part that I was supposed to read is Isaiah 61, which, funny enough, is the same scripture I got last year at our leaders' weekend at Beluda. So I'd like to read it to you. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, for the display of His splendor. And I thought, who doesn't want to be an oak to display God's splendor? What an awesome picture. An oak is something that's so strong, and it brings confidence, and it's just a beautiful picture. And I recently read, don't expect stability from a broken identity. And I realized you're never going to be a solid oak if you haven't found your identity in Christ. So my story with Josh Jean is I joined Josh Jean 20 years ago. I got saved. It is one of the services. Actually, the same day, Stefan's wife's Debbie. We met that day. We didn't know each other before that. Stefan and myself went to high school together, but reunited when he met Debbie a couple of years later. And I was saying to the group before this group, which is actually also this group earlier, that the most exciting thing for me in the last 20 years was finding out what my identity is in God. What He thinks about me, what He wants to use me for, and that just gives you purpose. Like you wake up with a purpose. And I want to say, if you don't have that, fight to find it. Hang around godly people. Hang around God. Beg Him to tell you, to show you. It isn't really hard, because usually when you go to a 412 conference, or you go to a home group, or you ask Christian friends to pray for you, it comes quite quickly. A word, a prophetic, and usually the guys around you know what your strengths are before you even know. So, I mean, even Chels. I mean, there isn't a next gen service that Chels doesn't ask before the time, what can I bring? Can I bring sweets? What can I make? Charles doesn't come empty-handed to any service. And it was a huge example to the rest of us because she sometimes was the only one that asked. Imagine if every single one of our, at a stage we were 50, how many next-gen kids? Imagine if every kid asked in the week before kids' church, Auntie Mandy, what can I bring on Sunday? What can I do on Sunday? So Charles was leading in that area. And the same for every single one of us. Like Simone said, say yes. Just the fact that we are here today, someone had to organize the keys, someone had to organize the papers, someone had to lead worship, someone had to do AV, someone had to prepare the preach, someone prayed up before the time. Lots of things that happened just for a Sunday morning. Can you imagine the rest of the life of the church? For me, in the last 20 years, I've also seen a Josh Jen now, I think they work into 303 congregations all over the world. And we are a part of that. The fact that I tithe here, the fact that we invite people, the fact that we host, the fact that we support Oudtshoorn doesn't mean we bound to Oudtshoorn. Part of our inheritance is the nations because we are part of a bigger family of a couple of thousand. We are part of a huge family which we sometimes forget because we're stuck in the small town, which, can I be honest, is not spiritually easy place to be in. If you have served God in a different place than Oudtshoorn, you'll know that this is hard ground. Honestly, it is. I've heard someone say when they drive into Oudtshoorn, they can't speak in their tongue anymore. It's like it's gone. And it's because there's a something in this town that we have to pray into continually. And there are going to be attacks, but it's we must op mekaar leun en steun. Because it's no good the Christians take each other out. Ons moet mekaar ondersteun. So if today, I almost want to say the message today is, what can you bring? That little boy brought his fish and his bread. Simone bought it at the Macar Lounge. Chelsea brings the sweets or whatever you ask her to bring. What have you got to bring? And do you know what it is? Because it's easy for me to think, I'm going to take pudding tomorrow night. But what is God's maybe got more in me than pudding to take tomorrow night? And if you don't know what it is, ask people to help you figure it out. And it does change over the years. Doesn't stay the same. It's not like I get saved and this is my gift for the next 50 years. It changes. It's alive. We serve a God that's alive, that's real. We're pliable. So it changes. I was saying earlier that I saw a picture of a chess set about a week ago when I was praying for the church. And it was a black and white picture of a chess set in a certain move. It wasn't the beginning of a game. It was in the middle of a game. But it wasn't going anywhere. There was absolutely no movement. It was black and white, it was dull, there was no color, and there was no movement. And I said, God, if that's for Josh Jen Oudtshoorn, please help us. We don't want to stay dull, lifeless, and motionless. We can't. Yes, has the lockdown affected all of us? For sure. Because it was 3 weeks of honeymoon in the beginning. Everybody has to stay home. You have to spend time with your family. You don't have to meet anyone. It was bliss. But now, we start missing people, we start getting depressed, we watch too much TV, or eat veel soetgoed, or whatever it is. It's starting to play a role on our emotions, spiritually, in our society, and we have to watch out for that. So what does God say about you? How many people here know words that have been spoken over your life? That what you can bring to the kingdom. Your fish and your bread that you've got, it might not be the same, let's say in the last week or two, or month, or since the beginning of this lockdown. Has God spoken to any of you about what it is that you can bring to this body, to further his kingdom, even if it's John that does the admin on a Sunday morning? Does anybody know what they're bringing? Does anybody, I've got one, I've got two, I've got three. So I suspect the rest don't know. Am I right when I say the rest aren't sure? Can I encourage you in this? Make a point of finding out. And it's usually the things that bother you about church is the thing that you have to do something about. Because what bothers Bear and what bothers me and what bothers William about church isn't the same. But most of the time, am I right, Stefan, when I say it's probably this thing that you should get involved in? So if the admin irritates you and you've got a gift for admin because that's why you noticed it's lacking, then bring your gift. If you're irritated with worship, bring your gift. Say, I want to be a part of the worship team. I see you guys need a something. If you're irritated with whatever it is, the home groups, the setup, the get involved, the kids' church, the youth, the fact that at the moment we don't really have youth and we need it. If it's so heavy on your heart, then the chances are good that God actually wants you to be part of the solution and not just bring the problem, because who else is going to do it? So something to pray through, something to pray through. The fish and the bread, one lunch, blessed 5,000 to 15,000 people. One messy lounge, blessed we don't know how many people, because the people that were there blessed their families, blessed their families. You don't know the end of whatever happened in your lounge over the last couple of years. We actually don't know the end of that blessing. Because so not 10 families were affected there. Those 10 families have neighbors, have friends, have parents. It could be that 5,000 people have been blessed through the fact that they've had people in their lounge. So moenie jou gift klein maak nie. Whatever it is that you can bring is something that somebody else can't, and that's part of a family. So I'd just like to close in prayer. Can I pray for us? Lord, we've read it and we've heard it and we sing it out loud that you love us unto death. But God, I think sometimes we don't really believe it or accept it. Have we learned to really receive your love? We know about it. But I'm talking about a receiving that goes into the depths of a person where you didn't even know there was such a place. I got a picture of a charm bracelet. You buy the charms that you like and you hang it on your charm bracelet, and it's almost a display of your personality. But then I saw this charm bracelet, which is just filled with the love of God, charms of hearts, charms of just God's love wrapped around your spirit. And from that place, from a place that you are so loved, a love that you never thought possible, you came out of a broken home or not, a love that you never thought possible, out of that place, there's a wellspring of life and freedom and deliverance. And you cannot keep it to yourself. Nothing and no one can hold it back. You have to share it to those around you, saved or unsaved. God, and bring us back to that place where we know, like we know, like we know that we are loved. God, and that we can figure out our identity in you along the way. Because when we know, like we know, like we know who we are in you, there's a confidence. And we can bring something. And every single one of us here today have got something to bring. And it's something that only you can bring. God, I thank you that you're not black and white. I thank you that the chess set won't be still forever. I thank you that where the Spirit is, there's life, there's power, there's change, there's deliverance. So Spirit of God, I pray that you just capture every single one of our hearts, that you fill every single hour of every single day of our lives, because we cannot do it without you. We are nothing without you. No change will come without the Spirit. And God, then I also want to challenge people, after a 4-month lockdown, do we even still want to? Het ons nog lus? Is daar nog 'n lus? To keep the fire going in you and pass that on to anyone that's willing to hear about this awesome God and his awesome love and his awesome plan. Oh God, I want to pray for every single person here. I breathe life. I breathe life into every single spirit, every single place that hasn't been opened or unlocked. Oh Lord, would you come by your Spirit and unlock and free people so that we can further your kingdom and love those around us. I thank you, Lord, that you're awesome, that you're great, that you're kind, that you love us, that we have a hope that people that don't know you don't have. Because of that hope, we have joy. Because of that joy, we have a purpose when we wake up in the morning. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Can I ask for us to do something? I forgot actually in the previous service, but can we all stand? Can we all stand? Last night when I was praying for this meeting, I asked the Spirit to start to move. As I say, if I'm the one that is irritated with a chest stand that's standing still, once it's like a my job, it's the bit outward. So I asked God to move, just a movement again. Just to get the lockdown myth out of sight. Just a movement. And I ask if every single one of us, we only a part of the pawns on that chess set, but we can all just take one step forward. Can we do that? One step forward. God, and I pray that in the Spirit. I pray that in the Spirit that all of us, just a one step after this lockdown that has borne good and bad, just a one step forward. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
So I just want to wrap up. I want to remind you, what is our purpose? Just quickly wrap up. I want to remind you what God's called us to do. Not me, us. Each one of us sitting here. If you're part of this church and you've been part of this church for a while, if you've been a visitor, I want to remind you of the thing that God's called us to do. And I'm so glad Mandy mentioned that we're part of a way bigger thing. We're not part of a small thing. We're part of, we currently have, I think, 24, 25 congregations. There's people sitting overseas right now in Scotland. There's a couple that can't find a church. And they have asked, can we plant a church there? People, we are privileged. Honestly, I've been in the world. I've been on outreaches. I've seen what it looks like. We are privileged to have church the way that we have church. Because this stuff doesn't happen naturally. It doesn't happen in the world. People come to church. They hear a good message and they go home. That's all they do. They don't want to get involved. I was in the American church. That's exactly how it is. They'll tell you how long you have to be. They'll do everything because it's all centered around us and how good we feel. But this little boy brought something of himself. This is his lunch. And the amazing thing is when Jesus took that lunch, he prayed over it and he multiplied it. And then we see the story end where there were 12 baskets full. There was more than enough of one person. And I want to also remind you, the reason why we planted multi-site churches is because we can reach more people. It's because we need it to be multiplied. It's easy to have one big church, a mega church of 5,000-6,000 people. It's easy. But we wanted to get into every single little town. Outsurring, God wanted to be here. He wanted to plant. This has been planted really by, in a way, by Dirk and Mandy. In a way. Yeah, don't say, you brought your barley bread and your fishes. That's what you did 15 years ago. And people laid down their lives and there was a church planted. For 5 years it was led by Mike Durfay. Then 3 years. And now for 7 years we've been here. Why? Because God wants it. So I want to remind you, what is our purpose? I'm going to quickly just go through this and God has added churches to us. This is the craziest thing. One thing, I've been a Christian for 28 years. 28 years I've been a Christian. I've never seen churches add themselves to other churches. I've never seen guys say, listen, here's my church. Take everything. Take the building, take the finances, take everything. We're here to submit ourselves under you. And I'm not talking small churches. I'm talking big churches. Guys that have built up churches over, you know, planted 5 churches before. lay down their life and say, we want to be part of this because we see that there is a bigger picture. You know, alone you can go far, but together we can go further. I want to say that. It's great to be alone and it's great to be a one-man band, but ultimately together we will go way, way, way further. Because there's a momentum. So many prophetic words over the years have referred to Josh Jane as a blueprint church. Now, what is a blueprint? In terms, it is used for the final drawings of a building or even of a machine. So to blueprint something means to build it to the original intent designed. So if I bring a blueprint of this building, I want you to build this building. And Jesus has got a church envisioned because he says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus has got a blueprint of his church, the way he wants it built. And we need to build that way. If you would study the Old Testament and Solomon's temple and all these places, there was a blueprint, there was a pattern that they needed to follow. All of them. And that is the thing that I want to drop in your heart this morning, that you are not insignificant in this pattern, that you are very significant as you play your part, as each part does its bit. The thing that we started off with at the beginning of this year. Our desire is to build a church according to God's design that pleases Him and which will then influence others to build accordingly. In the New Testament, the church of Antioch was actually called a model church because of their faith that they showed, the body of believers. And they were worthy to be imitated, the Bible says. And I want to ask us, are we worthy to be imitated in Otsaron? And it's not just what you do here in this building on a Sunday or on a Wednesday when you go to a community. It's where you are at. What you do, your job is very significant to the Lord. Where you are at right now is very significant to the Lord because He wants to use you in that area. So I want to encourage you this morning to remember the big picture, why God has placed you here. We aspire to be a tool God will use to help change the way the world sees church. Generally, church is dying. And I think COVID, like Mandy said, has atrophied. You know what atrophy is? I mean, it's when a muscle just goes weak, basically. And I think there's muscles within the church that have grown weak, even in the last 4 months. Churches in the States are battling whether you should wear a mask or not a mask. They are battling whether they should open or not open. They're fighting one another within the church. People, there's a bigger picture. Satan has come to destroy and kill, maim. He wants to just eradicate church. But Jesus came, and John 10:10 says, Jesus came to give life, life in abundance. So I want to encourage you this morning with this word. And I've been encouraged by both these wonderful ladies and just their testimony. And there's plenty more that I could pick. How they have become part of the church. And it's not always been easy. It's not always been easy, has it? Has it been easy? It's not been easy. There's a scripture in the Bible. It's a scripture. I'm not quoting something weird. There's a scripture in the Bible that says this. I'll look it up. I'll find it for you. But basically it says that where there is no cows in the stall, there's also no dung. There's no poo. Okay. It's clean. Because there's people in a church, it will be a messy place. The ark, which is always seen as a type of the church, of God rescuing his people, that was a messy place. I think if you had conversations with Noah over 40 days, I think with all that animals in there in a confined space, it became a messy place. And that's the church, my friends. But it's the church that Jesus died for. It's the church that Jesus loves. It's the church that Jesus builds. So I want to say to you, the church needs you. Each one of you.